93.7 Express FM. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing "Play Up Pompey." It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
The Blues reach cloud nine at Prenton Park.
He still might get the shot away. Williams, he does, and he'll score! Ryan Williams drills it into the bottom corner.
Pompey sealed a club record ninth consecutive win on Saturday at the expense of Tranmere Rovers to edge even closer to the automatic promotion places. And up next is Coventry away as the games begin to come thick and fast for Kenny Jackett's formidable Blues. It's been an incredible start to the year, but as always, there's plenty still to discuss with you back home to get involved with the show, and lots to discuss between now and 7 o'clock. With Rodon Curtis hitting some great form recently, would you agree that he is currently better than Jamal Lowe when he was in his prime at the club? How have you rated Cameron Begean's start to life on the South Coast? And do you believe that Pompey's strength in depth this season is the best it has been for a very long time? Visit expressfm.com to find out all the ways to get involved this evening. It's Monday, it's 6 o'clock, and it's time now for the Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome one and all to the Monday Football Hour here on 93.7 Express FM, driven to you by Stagecoach Buses. Download the app today to plan your next journey. Coming up on tonight's show, myself and my two guests will be talking about all the latest from PO4. Despite the mounting victories, we still have plenty to discuss, including a record-breaking achievement and even a player departure. We've got it all to come over the next 55 minutes or so. But before we dive any deeper into any of that, shall we take a listen back to the Blues' last fixture? Kenny Jackett took his side, who still remain unbeaten in 2020, by the way, up to the Wirral to take on relegation-threatened Tranmere Rovers at Prenton Park, where a win would smash a 100-year-old club record. Commentary of this one with Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoot and score!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
In nearly 100 years as a club in the Football League, Portsmouth have never won 9 matches in a row in all competitions. Incredibly, this afternoon is the third time in just over a year that Kenny Jackett has gone into a game on the back of 8 consecutive wins. Loose in midfield, Ben Close with a really fine bit of control, and then the outside of his right foot flicked it out to the left touchline. And Seddon, who's made such an impact since arriving on loan, comes forward. Curtis theatrically goes to the ground and gets Curtis to deliver. Decent ball into a danger area. Raggett has scored! Sean Raggett! His first Portsmouth goal! A wonderful delivery! It bounced in the box, and Raggett could not miss from 3 yards out. He headed it in. He couldn't believe it. I'm not sure his teammates can believe it. I don't think the 2,000 fans to the left can believe it. It's Tranmere 0, Portsmouth 1, Sean Raggett. All played forward, defending for Pompey to do here. And Burgess makes a really good challenge, but it's picked up by Blackett Taylor outside the box, back on his right foot, then turns on his left. 2 Pompey players on their backside into the area. Good save from Bath. Not cleared away yet. Great challenge from Close. And the ball will go behind for a goal kick. Another one that looked like a corner as Pompey all got in their position to defend it. The referee says goal kick. Blackett Taylor, who wants to try and run at Bolton, trying to go around the outside if he's got half a yard, and he stood it up to the far post. The header is missed. What a chance from Andy Cook, and a big let off of Portsmouth cleared away. They still lead 1-0. Now Curtis has got a chance to try and break forward. A square ball to Williams, but it was behind him. He still might get the shot away. Williams, he does, and he'll score. Ryan Williams drills it into the bottom corner. It looked like Tranmere had weathered the danger after the ball was behind him, but
Williams got a really fierce shot away, and any effort that bounces on this surface is going to cause problems for the goalkeeper. Early in the second half, Pompey have doubled their lead. It's Tranmere 0, Portsmouth 2. The final whistle has gone at Prenton Park for the first time in more than 100 years, and for the first time since joining the Football League, Portsmouth have won 9 matches in a row in all competitions. 9 for Kenny Jackett, Tranmere Rovers 0, Portsmouth 2.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
The highlights there of Pompey's 2-0 win at Tranmere Beach on Saturday. Sam Carter joins me in the studio this evening. Sam, good evening and welcome back. Another great victory for the Blues at the weekend.
Yeah, it's brilliant, Jake, isn't it? I tell you what, there's only one storm taking over the country at the moment, and that is Storm Portsmouth. It is beautiful. 9 wins on the trot. Let's round it up tomorrow night.
You've been waiting a long time to say that.
I have. I thought that the promo was going on.
And Ryan, honey, great to have you here again. A win that smashes a club record. In the 99 years since the club joined the Football League, never before have Pompey won 9 games in a row across any competition. Now they've done it, and it's another record set by Kenny Jackett.
It's incredible. I mean, at the start of the season, you didn't think it was going to happen, really, did you? And for us to do it, fair play to the lads. Fair play.
Only 3 times have they won 8 in a row, Sam. Twice last season under Kenny himself, and once under Redknapp in the 2002-2003 season. For campaign, we, of course, won promotion to the top flight. An incredible achievement by Kenny Jackett, who, of course, is leading his side now, still unbeaten at home in the league. We now have our fate in our own hands in League One. If we win all of our remaining games, we go up. Simple as that. This manager has turned it around massively.
Oh, of course. At the start of the season, it was probably the most divisive topic for us all. But he's really shut up the doubters, including myself. And we've just, you know, you can't not get behind it at the moment. Like, we're playing good football. We're scoring goals from set pieces, which we never do before. We're scoring goals on counter attacks, which we've never really done before. So we've turned a corner, and long may that continue. It's beautiful.
And we had so many things going against us really on Saturday, didn't we, Ryan? Really all superstitious kind of stuff as well. On the verge of smashing this club record, which of course we have. Playing away to Tranmere, which for weeks we were, you know, so worried the game would be called off due to their pitch. It was almost like a beach, as I just mentioned a moment ago. So sandy and so caught up that pitch was. Just everything seemed to be, this screams a 1-0 Tranmere win. You know, the second worst home record in the league, for goodness sake. But we've overcome not just, you know, winning games against top teams, Sunderland at home 2-0 win, but actually overcoming these banana skins too.
That's just it, a banana skin fixture, just looking at it. But to come away injury free as well from such a pitch and with 3 points, I don't think it could have gone much better, to be honest.
Yeah. And who would have thought, Sam, that we would finally see the day?
Decent ball into a danger area. Raggett has scored! Sean Raggett, his first Portsmouth goal!
Sean Raggett.
He's done it.
Wow.
Brilliant, isn't it? Just as we were all giving Burgess all the credit for being this goal-scoring centre-back, Raggett thought, you know what, you're not having that.
Sergio Raggedinho, as they call him, as one person calls him. But just incredible, you know, Ryan, for a player like Sean Raggett, who I think it's fair to say that across the season, he's had his doubters, he's had his critics, you know. In all fairness, he's had games where he does look a little bit shaky, but he's coming now into the first team frame where, by the way, Jack Watmore's back. He's fit and he's ready to play. Okay, we're going to ease him in slightly, but we've got a fit Jack Watmore. We've got Christian Burgess, who is leading the line, admittedly. But Sean Raggett is completely, like Kenny Jackett himself, turned his own season around. And he's inserted himself as a starting player and really one of the first names on the team sheet, because he's been incredible since the start of the year.
Yeah, rightly so, he's on the team sheet because, he started shaky, but his confidence is coming through now. And fair play to Raggett. I mean, like you say, he's knocked off the haters, he's knocked off the doubters, and he's proven everyone wrong. And he's putting in a consistent performance week in, week out now. And he's adding to these clean sheets, and he deserves all the praise in the world because he's doing so well, yeah.
And goals recently, Sam, coming from all over the pitch. We mentioned, you know, previous months how we need to get John Marquis firing. And we did get John Marquis firing, you know, 6 goals in 8 games, I think it was, quite recently. OK, he's not scored in a few games. He didn't even play on Saturday. But now goals are coming from the midfield. They're coming now from the defence. We mentioned Christian Burgess, 3 goals in 5 games recently. Sean Raggett now on the score sheet. James Bolton against Sunderland last weekend. Just incredibly, this is what you need from a team, and this is what we saw in 2017 when we got promoted from League 2. We didn't have that out and out goal scorer.
No,
I think we had 3 or 4 players as our top goal scorer, you know, Gary Roberts, Cal Naismith, Carl Bennett. This is what you need. This, you need a united team.
Yeah, and Ryan Williams jumping in with a goal as well, which is, has been quite rare. It really is going right at the moment, isn't it? Like you say, goals from all over the pitch, and like you said in the intro as well, like the strength and depth at the moment is brilliant. Marquis not playing, but we're still getting the wins and the goals. Like, what more could you really ask for?
And another player we were mentioning just off air a few moments ago, Ryan Alex Bass, who again has asserted himself as effectively the first name on the team sheet. He's the goalkeeper, but he's pushed out a Craig McGilvery, who was really on the top of his game. Okay, again, he had his doubters and he had a few games where you kind of think, well, is this going to change? But Alex Bass, he's come in and he's looked solid, and I think solid would be an understatement.
I think he's been phenomenal, since he's come in. I mean, 6 clean sheets for the season now for Bass. I mean, at such a young age, he's taken the number one jersey on his shoulders, playing for Pompey, and he's doing really, really well. I mean, McGilvery will feel a little bit aggrieved, obviously, that Rangers' interest supposedly has busted a little bit of a storm in his direction, but I mean, Bass is taking his chance, and that's what's keeping McGilvery out of the team at the moment.
8 starts since the turn of year. Only 10 games Pompey have played since New Year's Day, Sam. 8 starts for Alex Bass, including league games, FA Cup games, for any games he hasn't played in the EFL Trophy, where Craig has started those matches. He's conceded 6 goals in those 8 games. 2 of those, as I mentioned there, FA Cup, 4-2 win over Barnsley, 2-1 win at Fleetwood, a member 2-1 win against AFC Wimbledon in the league, and Gillingham away on New Year's Day. A player who is keeping clean sheets and conceding minimal goals, and there's a good reason behind that. You know, Ryan mentions how he's a young goalkeeper, but he's got these attributes of a goalkeeper who's been playing for many more years.
Oh, definitely. He started off as a lot of us asking, you know, how long is this going to go on for? Is this just an experiment? But I think I speak for most fans when I say just long may it continue, you know, like I don't really care if he gets taken out or put back in, because we do seem to have 2 very, very strong goalkeepers now, which is exactly what you want. And those stats you mentioned there, 6 goals in 8 games, that's obviously less than 1 goal a game, which is brilliant.
And credit as well to Tommy Clements for this one, Iker Bisseas.
Love it.
Decent.
Yeah, it's great. Great name for him. And a stat here, which I was reading on Twitter earlier today from Martin Hopkins. Ryan Williams' goal at Tranmere was, I don't know how he's kept count of this, I don't know where he's found this, but credit to you, Martin, was the 5,704th goal that Pompey have scored since entering the league in 1920. And they've conceded 5,704 goals in those 93 seasons. But scored and conceded the same amount of goals since they were, you know, joined the Football League on a day where they smashed a club record. Just such a weird stat that I want to throw up at Ryan, but you know, it incredible. You know, we mentioned the record that Pompey have broken this weekend, but it really goes to show the direction this club's now heading.
I mean, it's an interesting stat for sure, but yeah, like you say, the club is definitely heading in the right direction and scoring goals for fun all over the pitch, as Sam was saying. And you know, if we can turn those goals into goal difference and positively, there's no reason why we can't keep going up.
Tom Clark says consistency, which is fair enough.
Definitely.
Yeah. And Martin adds on to that the goal difference at the end of the 2014-15 season was minus 117, so completely turned that around over the last 5 seasons. So credit to Kenny Jacket and, of course, Paul Cook for turning that around at Pompey. We're in a period now of the season, Sam, where, you know, we mentioned again a few moments ago how at the start of the campaign where we had that torrid spell, didn't we?
Yeah.
We were sat 18th, 19th place trying to get this win. You know, we mentioned Kenny Jacket about how at Wimbledon away, I think it was Wickham away as well, under so much pressure from the fans, and you know, whether you hold that opinion or whether you don't, you know, that was a lot of pressure to be under. Pompey faithful certainly make their voices heard when they want to, so you've got to give them credit as well. Over this month or so, he's come through that. He's fairly, you know, ignored that. He's come through it. He's done his job, and really delivered what none of us were expecting.
Yeah, he's got to have some thick skin, because that, especially at Wimbledon, they weren't the nicest scenes for anyone. I know we were rightly not very happy with the results at the moment there, but to kind of really just turn it around from just, well, almost week in, week out, getting people calling, very vocally calling for your head is and all over Twitter obviously as well, it really is something. Like, and the players as well, like, yeah, it must have affected the players, because if anything, they're going to see it more than the manager with the social, well, with like the fact of social media these days. So yeah, they've really turned it around, and fair play to them.
Looking here, and you look at, you know, Sean Raggett and James Bolton, players we've mentioned in this first part of the show, and you look at the January transfer window where, you know, the fans, and I think even Kenny himself admitted that really the two targets we were looking to sign after the signings of McGeehan and Steve Seddon and of course Rico Hackett-Fairchild were the centre-back and right-back positions. Now Sean Raggett and James Bolton have again brushed aside that and fought for their places within the team, and they showed to the manager that actually we don't need those positions covered anymore. Okay, it'd be nice to have that backup and even more strength and depth, but actually these players can do a job, and they've shown that more than well enough over this last month. So do you think that maybe the pressure or the really the thrill of the January transfer window, Ryan, has spurred these players on to maybe become better?
Well, potentially. I mean, they've done really, really well to nail down their place in the starting 11. I mean, like you say, Jack Watmore supposedly fully fit on the bench, Raggett's keeping him outside, and you've also got Ross McCrory back, who can also play right back, and James Bolton has started the last few games, well, last six or seven, I want to say, and, you know, nailed down his place. So they deserve tremendous credit for that. They do really do.
Let's have a look at the social media quickly before we head to our first break of the evening. Alex Reed on Twitter said, "It's not just his shot stopping." This is Alex Bass. He's obviously good at that. "But he's built like a broomstick, but handles himself at corners and crosses and manages to take a clattering, but nearly always gets something from the ball." And again, you know, we were mentioning how good Alex Bass is at such a young age, but it is his, you know, his commanding of his area, his coming out for crosses, and also his distribution upfield, which is promising to Pompey fans. So that's what we like to see.
Yeah, it's grown, hasn't it?
Mm.
It's got better by the week, and I think that's just something that happens with experience.
Yeah. Don't forget, if you want to get involved, then you can simply text the word Express followed by your name and message to 81400, email pompey@expressfm.com, or include @expressfm within your tweets. Would you say that Rowan Curtis is a nailed-on upgrade on Jamal Lowe? Where do you believe is Cameron Begin's best position? And how confident are you of the Blues potentially making it 10 wins in a row tomorrow night? When we return, we'll be hearing the thoughts of gaffer Kenny Jackett following that win on Saturday. So stay tuned and keep that dial on 93.7, because we've got even more Pompey conversation for you to enjoy and become a part of right after the break.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7. Express FM.
Welcome back, and thanks for joining us here on the Monday Football Hour, sponsored this season by Stagecoach Buses, who provide a cheap, fast and reliable service across the city and all over the South Coast too. Find out more information by visiting stagecoach.co.uk. Let's hear now from Kenny Jackett, who spoke to Andy Moon on the touchline following Saturday's win over Tranmere.
Yeah, I thought it was a, you know, great win. It's going to be a really hard game here today with them taking Cook and James Vaughan, and playing out up front as a pair, and then similarly Woodyard, McCulloch in midfield, gave them a, you know, a different dynamic in both areas. And then, you know, the first home game, then they're looking to build up some momentum. So you know, I felt the influx of players would make it difficult for us today. It was, we had to be really at our best defensively, but, you know, the most pleasing aspects was the goals and the fact that, you know, we had clear chances to score more, which is good.
The first half, though, how challenging was that? Because you were on the back foot for a fair amount of it.
Yeah, definitely, and I always felt we would, you know, we would be, because, you know, when you have the likes of Cook and Vaughan there playing up front as a pair, they're a handful. You know, they're going to be a real handful, and they were. And it's difficult to get out, and there's a, you know, slight slope and a bit of wind. We had to defend it. And but I'm pleased to say the start of the second half, where, you know, we were then going down that way, we made it pay. We had chances. We got a very good goal from Ryan Williams, which, you know, we've been working at and talking to him about, because he gives us so much. We've wanted him to add goals to his game, but overall, a harder game than it perhaps looked from the outside, and you know, we did well to overcome it.
How did the pitch affect things?
Yeah, I mean, pitch is what it is, and you know, it's much talked about. We have to make sure that we don't use it as an excuse. If you talk about it too much, gets into players' minds. It's the same for both teams. And in terms of a game, I felt that they would go direct today and put the two big lads up front and be a handful. I felt that would be the case with them being two new signings as well, and then the first home game for them. And for us, anyway, it was the same for both sides. Totally different type of game on Tuesday night against Coventry, which is where my thoughts are now. And today, though, we did well because, as I said, with the influx of new players, we had to overcome quite a physical battle, and we did.
You said you wanted goals from your centre-half. It's halves. It's taken a bit of time, but Christian Burgess and Sean Raggett have started delivering.
Yeah, they have. Pleased for Sean because he's stuck at it and shown good character, as quite a number of players have during the course of the season. Got into a good rhythm anyway, and that's always a big thing. You know, you need to settle a back four down, partnerships, and he's benefited from I think quite a good partnership with Burgess as well, and they've grown as the games have gone on. But to get a goal is always a plus, and again, you know, the thing we've been talking about is Curtis not just being a scorer but obviously an assist as well, and good assist for the first goal.
I don't imagine you're someone who gets wildly excited by statistics, but 9 wins in a row for the first time in 100 years, first time in the Football League, it is an astonishing achievement from Pompey. How did you look at that?
Yes, yeah, fantastic. Probably in all three competitions, isn't it, right across the board? So yeah, delighted with that. You know, players should be very proud. It gives us a really good chance, I think, in obviously all competitions, and a lot to play for. There's still a third of the season left, just over, if you're looking at amount of league games, and the two competitions that we're in congest a lot into a short space of time. Obviously, we want to recover well, avoid injuries, try to keep in a good rhythm, and then rise to the challenge in the last third of the season, which, you know, this run has given us that opportunity to be there.
Final couple, what was the thinking not using any substitutes today?
Yeah, it was in a situation where I was very confident of the players on the pitch being able to see it through. You know, there's obviously temptations in certain situations, but obviously then towards the latter stages of it, you're looking at some of your attacking players, but how they can defend is important as well. So, you know, pleased to say the players that started did the job.
What's the situation with Andy Cannon's injury?
Yeah, he's feeling his glute, which is, you know, something around his lower back or his hamstring. Hopefully it's not too bad. He was holding it coming off last weekend, and it's kept him out today. He has had a scan, and it doesn't seem too much, but he's obviously in a bit of discomfort through the week, and did a minimal amount of training. We decided then that he wasn't fit to play. We hope by Tuesday or next Saturday that he's okay.
The manager Kenny Jackett on the touchline with Andy Moon following the weekend's win over Tranmere Rovers. And a point he mentioned within that interview, Ryan, was that we still have a third of the season left. And, you know, we mentioned before the break how the destiny of this League One campaign and the table itself is now within Pompey's hands. And it was following the win over Sunderland as well. Effectively, we win all of our games, we're up. It's as simple as that. It's the same as Coventry. They win all of their games, they're up. We have two or three games in hand on the top three or four in the league, and we're only, what, 3 or 4 points behind automatics? It is really, effectively, ours to lose. There's a long way to go, of course, but hearing that we have so much of the season left and so little to play between us and the top two, how confident are you now that not only can Pompey achieve, perhaps and hopefully, a playoff position at least, but we can go all the way. We can get automatics. We could even win the title.
100%. I mean, we couldn't have come into this stage of the season in much better form. I mean, and like you say, it's ours to lose. But if we carry on winning, carry on getting results, grinding them out, there is no reason why we can't sneak into the top two places. 100%.
Yeah. also, looking at the way the season has gone, or really since the turn of year, Sam, unbeaten still in 2020. One win away from Wembley, gaining the EFL trophy. What, two wins away from a semis in the FA Cup. A good tie as well in the fifth round of that competition. Club record wins in a row. We're playing as a team, missing players through injury, but still winning games, losing key players in the summer, overcoming them eventually. Everything is just going so right for us right now, and the confidence is sky high.
Mm, so what could go wrong?
Southend away, 3-0 up.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Stranger things have happened, haven't they? We won League Two in a lot stranger circumstances, so anything could get better, anything could get worse. Let's just enjoy the good times whilst they happen, I guess. But looking at, as Kenny said, there's still a third of the season to go. The first third, I think we can all admit, was forgettable. The second third has been amazing. So, you know what, let's just keep the good times going. Mm. Let's really finish the season on a high. Do the opposite of last year.
Yeah. And as great as it is to keep winning games, Ryan, it gives us so little to talk about sometimes here on the Football Hour. It's just, Pompey are just really good again. We're winning games. But, you're going to take that over anything, aren't you? You're going to take that winning mentality, the confidence and the momentum, not just on the pitch, but it breathes through the stands as well. And I've seen so many positive comments on social media from, admittedly from people who previously I wouldn't have thought that would come from, but there is just so much of a great buzz in and around the club at the moment that we just really are hoping now that it is going to continue now until the rest of the till the end of the season.
Like you say, it's a breath of fresh air. I mean, the buzz around Pompey's phenomenal. I mean, we're still in two cup competitions, one win away from Wembley, and then two wins away from Wembley in the FA Cup as well. And to carry breaking club records as well, I mean, it couldn't really be going much better for us right now. So, buzzing.
It's amazing, really, Sam, what a bit of faith and patience and confidence can do, to only the fan base, the players, and the manager as well. So many calls for Kenny's head around, November, December time, but actually, the board and the eyes have shown their faith in the manager and said, no, he's going to do it. This is a marathon, not a sprint. And that really, Kenny has repaid that so far back to them.
Mm. Brick by brick, as the saying goes, isn't it?
You know, people do mock that a lot, but it's true.
Yeah, exactly. You can only stick with what we've got. Like a rush decision in the middle of the season like that probably would have been, looking at it with hindsight, probably could have made us go a lot worse. So
then you've got to rebuild.
Exactly. So we already rebuilt this summer. I think that's what we've got to remember here is we lost Clark, we lost Lowe, which were probably our two biggest players last season. And to then rebuild a squad like that, to bring in two kind of big money strikers in Harrison and Marquis for this level, there was a lot of expectation and there was a lot of, gelling to get on with, and we're finally reaping the rewards of that. Yeah. So brilliant.
Speaking there of Jamal Lowe and obviously losing him in the summer, Ryan, and of course Matt Clark, but Jamal Lowe in particular, a player who has been really consistent for Pompey since he signed back in 2017 from Hampton and Richmond, a player who we all knew we were going to miss, not just on the pitch, but as a community player as well. He was a real fans' favourite at Fratton Park. But I asked a question earlier in the day to Pompey fans out there on social media. Would you say that an informed Ronan Curtis, as he definitely is right now, is better than Jamal Lowe was in his prime at Pompey? I know a lot of Jamal Lowe's time was spent maybe in League Two and kind of mid-table League One, but would you agree that maybe we've sort of upgraded in that aspect? We haven't really missed him too much, irregardless of how he's performed at Wigan, just for a second.
I do miss Jamal, but when you look at Ronan Curtis and you look at his form. Hmm. I mean, he can score goals and he can assist. And that's something that we've missed from a winger in so many years. So to say that Jamal Lowe's a miss, yes, it is. Yeah. But Ronan Curtis, for sure, I'd rather have him right now, for sure.
A lot of you, as I expected, getting involved on the social media. Thank you all for getting involved. I'll try and read out as many as I can. Keith Fenton says, it's difficult to say when they were both in the same side. I preferred Lowe, but Curtis is doing well now in a team that is stronger all round. I found Lowe more exciting to watch. A throwback to the likes of Vince Hilaire and Dave Thomas before him, and I think he's probably made a mistake joining a struggling team. And one of the points I want to highlight there, Sam, that Keith mentions on Facebook there, is that Curtis is doing well now in a team that is stronger all around. Would you say that in the kind of Jamal Lowe era when he was at the club playing under Kenny Jackett, he was in a team that was a little bit mismatched in other areas of the pitch, whereas Rowan Curtis is, yes, performing really well, but actually he's now got the players around him to help him and complement his performances?
Yeah, he has. Obviously, a lot of Curtis's assists this season have been on the end of a corner that he's taken or a free kick he's taken. But that doesn't hide away from the influence that Curtis has on the pitch. I think they're two very kind of different wingers. Curtis is quite, you know, in your face, isn't he? He'll do his defensive work, and Jamal is a very skillful, fast winger. But Jamal was good in defence as well. He really adapted his game to that throughout the years. But we saw a really good player develop, and it is quite a shame to see his struggles at Wigan. We can all understand why he wanted to go to the Championship, but with benefit of hindsight, maybe it was the wrong club to go to.
Yeah. And looking at Ronan Curtis and his stats, Ryan, before the turn of the year, he scored a couple. He's got 11 goals to his name so far in League One this campaign. But before January, he had no assists. And for a player of Ronan Curtis's ability and, you know, his positioning as well, you expect him to be setting up goals. The Sunderland game, 2 assists. Both of the goals were assisted by him. And even the Tranmere game at the weekend, both of them, free kick and a layoff to Ryan Williams. He's now helping to provide the goals, and that is something that comes with confidence as well.
I mean, he's thriving, isn't he? I mean, you look at the start of the season, a little bit shaky from Curtis, but the whole team was shaky in general. But he sort of adapted his game as the season's gone on, and we're sort of seeing the Curtis from last season, that patch of form where he was scoring goals, assisting goals, and he is a real talent.
Yeah.
And on his day, he is unstoppable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to read out a lot more of the interaction on social media now. Brett Holdway says, Lowe is better. In my honest opinion, Lowe has a higher ceiling. Pace, first touch, perfect for today's formations. I think he could play in the Premier League. An inside forward, not a striker for me, hence struggling at the moment. And it's fair to say that at Wigan, okay, yeah, he's struggling, but he's playing as kind of number nine. But, yeah, Andrew Turner says, I believe you're as good as the players around you. Tom Wilde says, Curtis works hard no matter what. Lowe, for me, used to go missing far too often, especially against the hard battling sides on cold winter afternoons when a bit of steel was needed. Dawn Roberts says, two completely different players. Ronan gets stuck in, whereas Lowe, in my opinion, bottles it, says Dawn on Facebook. Liam Bailey says, Ronan is better than Lowe easily. And Philip Bannister says that Harness is better than Lowe. And Ryan, you know, we mentioned a moment ago how, you know, Ronan Curtis may be playing in a stronger all-round team. Maybe that's what is helping him to thrive. But is Harness a better player than Lowe? You know, have we improved and used the money we've received from Lowe and from Matt Clark to actually improve on various different positions? Marcus Harness, you know, Sam mentioned there, John Marquis, Ellis Harrison as well. We've put that money actually to really good use.
I mean, the players we've brought in, yeah, you could definitely say that we've put the money to use. But obviously, losing Jamal Lowe was always going to be difficult to replace. And to bring in players with quality like John Marquis, Marcus Harness, and even Ellis Harrison, they're a real handful to play against. So I think the Iceners and Jackett deserve tremendous credit again. Yeah.
Dave Byrne on the email says, I certainly think that Ronan's work rate exceeds that of Jamal Lowe. Ronan has also worked hard on the defensive side of his game, and I would say he offers more than Jamal in that respect. I think in other ways they are basically equal, but overall I think Curtis is happier to be at Pompey and feels the club more than Jamal did. And I think it's safe to say, Dave, I agree, especially following Marie Curtis, Ronan's mum, on Twitter. Graham Wilkins on the email again, good evening to you, Graham. Great result on Saturday on a dodgy pitch where free-flowing football wasn't possible, so tomorrow should be fine. Two teams that should produce a good match, and looking forward to the game. I'm glad that Raggett got his goal and Williams too, which just goes to show how many goal scorers we have at the club. Just realised that I missed the deadline on the FA Cup tickets for season ticket holders, so now I have to get the missus to go online tomorrow, and I hope I get my normal seat. Graham, I feel your pain. That is not a nice thing to have to forgotten that. But hopefully, and fingers crossed for you, Graham, that you you get the ticket that you so definitely deserve, of course, being a season ticket holder. Good luck to you, Graham, in that one. And Stephen Jerome, finally, before we do head to our final break of the evening. Good evening, guys. I think it's fair to say that the pitch at Tranmere was absolutely awful. A lot of people saying that. I don't know what we're trying to get at. But well done to the lads. They put in a very professional performance and got the win. And what a record. 9 wins in a row in all competitions since joining the Football League is a fantastic record. I was pleased Raggett finally got his first goal for Pompey. We seem to have hit our peak at the right time of the season, and actually looking at the table, we're only 3 points away from the top two. I think this season is the complete opposite of last season, when we were top of the league for so long so early on, and then we dropped off a bit after Christmas, and that cost us promotion in the end. I reckon we can do what Luton did last season, and I can't see why we can't actually win the league with the form we're in at the moment, says Steve in Fratton. Thank you all of you for getting involved, and we'll come to more of them after this next break. You have just around 20 minutes to get involved with the conversation this evening if you haven't done so already. Who would you like to see start tomorrow's game against Coventry? Are you confident of the Blues sending another statement to the rest of the league? And would also like you to have a go at a score prediction as well. 81400 is the number to text. Start with the word Express. You can email Pompey at expressfm.com or find us on Twitter at expressfm. We'll be back in just a few moments for the conclusion of the Monday Football Hour here on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome back to the show, brought to you by Stagecoach across the South. Download their app today to find their latest offers and also your nearest bus stop. Just search for the Stagecoach on either the Apple app or Google Play Store. This is the part of the show where we look ahead to our next match, and next up for the Blues is high-flying Coventry City. Despite their off-the-field issues, the Sky Blues have had an excellent season on the field, and tomorrow is set to be a great encounter at Birmingham's St Andrews Stadium. But can Pompey continue their hot run of form? Here now with a look at tomorrow night's opposition is Mason Jordan.
After Saturday's club record 9th consecutive victory, the Blues are straight back on the road again, and it's time for yet another midweek fixture. In the way of Pompey and an incredible 10th straight win, stand Coventry City.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
The Sky Blues may be experiencing some off-field issues, the dominant one being the fact that they don't have a home ground to play in, but they still act quite the force in League One this season. And in this midweek fixture, Kenny Jackett is taking his side to St Andrews Stadium in Birmingham.
Manager.
Former Manchester United striker Mark Robbins is the Coventry City boss. The now 50-year-old played professionally between 1988 and 2005 when he retired at Burton Albion. Robbins ran out for teams including Leicester City, Rotherham United and Sheffield Wednesday before deciding to up sticks and become a manager. Since receiving his coaching badges in 2007, he's taken charge of Rotherham, Barnsley, Huddersfield Town and Scunthorpe United. He even had a season at Coventry back in the 2012-13 campaign. He was reappointed at the helm in March 2017 with the side doomed to relegation down to League Two. He led the Sky Blues back up for the first time of asking via the playoffs, his second Wembley victory in just over a year. He managed Coventry to EFL Trophy success in 2017 despite relegation.
One to watch.
24-year-old forward Amadou Bakayoko is one to keep an eye on. The Sierra Leonean striker has scored in each of his last two games at the club since coming in to cover for injured players. Bakayoko is strong, quick and clearly has an eye for a goal. He'll certainly cause problems for the Pompey back four, who will be hoping to prevent him from scoring for a third consecutive game.
Top scorer.
With 9 goals to his name, striker Matty Godden is Coventry's leading scorer in the division. The former Stevenage and Peterborough man was reportedly a target for the Blues in the summer before Kenny opted to sign John Marquis and Ellis Harrison instead. The 24-year-old is, however, going through a tough time on the sidelines and could be unavailable for the match against Pompey through injury.
Current form.
Sky Blues are unbeaten in 8 league matches and, much like Pompey, automatic promotion is in their own hands. both Pompey and Coventry have only played 28 matches each, whereas the rest of the sides in the top six have played at least 30. Mark Robbins' side play their home matches at Birmingham St Andrews Stadium this season, and despite the fact their home isn't actually their home ground, they've made it somewhat difficult for opposing teams to come away with a result. Only Pompey have lost fewer games on home turf than Coventry in League One this season. The Sky Blues have lost just one of their 14 league games in Birmingham since August. Can Pompey do it into double figures and make it 10 wins in a row by defeating promotion rivals Coventry away from home? Find out as all the unmissable action unfolds on Pompey Live.
Mason Jordan there with a look into tomorrow night's opponents, Coventry City, who await Pompey at St Andrews Stadium in Birmingham. And having a look at Coventry, Ryan, and you know, we expect them to be tough opposition for Pompey tomorrow night. They have the second most amount of draws in the league this season, behind only Gillingham, who that doesn't surprise me, is, you know, the draw specialist of the league, Gillingham. But despite the fact that they are up there, I believe fourth Coventry now, and on a fantastic run of form, they do tend to draw a lot of games.
Yeah, they're definitely a tough nut to crack, Coventry, especially at home. I mean, their away form's a little bit rocky, but at home, it'd be one of our tougher tests in recent weeks. I mean, I think it'd be crucial to get the first goal. I read earlier on today when Pompey have conceded first. Well, no, sorry, when Pompey have trailed in a game, we've never gone on to win.
Yeah.
So yeah, the first goal for me would be crucial, yeah, especially if we want to win.
Ryan mentions there Coventry's home record this season, Sam, and weird to think, but considering that, you know, they don't even play at home, they play at Birmingham St Andrews Stadium. But, you know, on a technicality, the home record stands at only one defeat all season, and that's only bettered by Pompey, of course, you know, unbeaten at home in the league this season. So they are certainly going to be a tough nut to crack. They draw a lot of games, they don't lose at home, and they're playing us at home. Is this a chance for Pompey to get a really good point against Coventry, or potentially send a statement to the rest of the league that we've beaten Sunderland, we've beaten a bogey, or not a bogey team, but a difficult team to beat, you know, Tranmere Rovers, a potential banana skin, and beating a side who just really don't come out unstuck at home?
Yeah, definitely. As long as we don't go down to nine men, I think I'm quite confident. Sorry, they go down to nine men. But as Ryan says, not good, was it? But yeah, they are a very tough nut to crack. I think it would be a massive, massive win. But likewise, it's a very good draw too. Obviously, you're always wanting to get the win, but going away to probably the team looking at it now could be our biggest rivals for the automatics. I think it would be a real statement to get a draw.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's hope we get that first goal.
Looking at the League One table as it stands now then, Ryan, of course tomorrow night's game at St Andrews Stadium against Coventry isn't a game in hand, it's a scheduled match for the Tuesday evening. Pompey, of course, fifth in the table, 50 points at the moment, only 3 points behind Wickham in second, who have played two games more. Of course, Rotherham top on 56, Peterborough third on 52, Coventry fourth on 51, Pompey fifth, as I mentioned there, 50 points. Sunderland just inside the playoffs on 48, outside only on goal difference at Ipswich Town, who have had a massive decline since the turn of the year. They're three defeats in a row for the Tractor Boys. But that league table now, 8 points between Rotherham and top and Ipswich in seventh. Okay, it's extended itself a little bit, but still there are six or seven teams there who are so well in for a shout there of automatic promotion, and you just can't call it. There's gone from being no side actually wanting to go up to everyone suddenly wants to get promoted this season. Everyone's hitting a good run of form. Peterborough, as I see here, they've won five in a row of their last five games. Coventry unbeaten in the last five. Pompey, they've won each of their last five games. Rotherham have only lost once in five matches. Wickham have hit a bit of a decline, as have Ipswich. But Fleetwood down in ninth, unbeaten in their last five games. There are so many teams now in for a shout. And although it seems as though this is a great opportunity for the Blues to get promoted this season with no team wanting it, actually now everyone wants it, and it's going to be so difficult.
It's all to play for. Like you say, there are so many teams involved for promotion. I mean, it's all going to come down to form. Who can retain the best form come the end of the season? And if we're up there, it's going to be because we've had the best form. That's the only reason.
Yeah.
And also, a former Pompey target, allegedly in the summer, Sam Matty Godden, scoring goals for Coventry. He's potentially injured for tomorrow night's game, so that could be a massive loss for Coventry, but a big boost for Pompey.
Oh, definitely. It's always good to see when the opposition's top striker is looking injured. Heading into it pretty much full strength, and they've got their injuries. It's always a bonus, but as we've said, you know, they're a very good team, so it's still going to be tricky.
Yeah. Looking at the games that Pompey still have to play, Fleetwood twice, home and away, Ryan, Ipswich away, Peterborough away, Rotherham away, Burton Albion away on the last game of the season isn't going to be easy. Although the home matches look pretty good now until the end of the campaign, and I should imagine that, or, you know, touch wood, we will still remain unbeaten on home soil until the end of the season. It's our away matches that we have coming up that potentially could unstick us.
Yeah, they don't come much tougher really away from home, so it will be interesting to see whether we can reflect our home form away from Fratton Park. So I think that's what it comes down to as well. If we want to get promoted, our away form really needs to be upped.
And like Pompey, Sam, for Coventry City, promotion is now in their hands. They have the games in hand, like Pompey too. They are, what is it, 1 point ahead of us in the table with the same amount of games played, as I mentioned there. They're going to be well up for this match, and maybe they take a point as well, but it's going to be a case of, and we can't sit here and tell you this, but it could either be a case of two teams playing out for a draw maybe, or it could be a case of two teams actually wanting to send that statement to the rest of the league and both teams attacking and going for that win. So we don't know whether it's going to be this 0-0 draw that, you know, no one's going to be too bothered about pushing for it, or it's going to be this game where both teams are attacking 4-3 either way.
You want it to be the latter, don't you?
Yeah.
But no, it's hard to tell. Obviously, they've got their good home with inverted commas there record. So you expect that they are probably going to try and take the game to us. So it's going to be up to us as the visiting team to either, you know, shop and try and play for that draw. But you know, we don't want to see that really, do we, as Pompey fans? So, you know, like, we've got to try and go and get that first goal, because when we do get that first goal, we are very strong.
Yeah. A player who Pompey missed at the weekend, Ryan, then Andy Cadden, and we mentioned in the previous part of the show where the Blues are missing players due to injury but still winning games. Andy Cadden, one of the most influential players since the turn of the year. He was missing again. He's going to be missing tomorrow with a glute injury. A real kick in the backside of him back on Saturday. Do you think Pompey are going to miss him tomorrow? Or do you think we've now, again, as we mentioned previously, got that strength and depth to deal with that? You know, McGeehan played in that number 10 role on Saturday. Ben Close filled in alongside Tom Naylor in effectively McGeehan's absence. We've got the players at our disposal now to come in and for Kenny to chop and change.
I think so. Yeah, I mean, you even got Ross McCrory on the bench that can come into the midfield. Mm. So Cameron McGeehan definitely gives us something different. And Ben Close as well. So, yeah, all options are covered in the midfield. So, yeah, Andy Cannon, he will be missed, but not so much.
And looking at the opposition, Coventry City, Amadou Bakayoko has scored two goals in his last two games since Matty Godden's injury. Sam, a player Pompey are going to want to look out for. He's strong, he's pacey, and he knows where the back of the net is. Is he a player you believe that Burgess and Ruggett, with their kind of defensive record since the start of the year, easily capable to deal with?
Yeah, you'd like to hope so, wouldn't you? I think Ivan Toney has obviously been the standout striker this year, and well, he didn't score against us, did he, this year?
No.
So we kept him quiet. So did he score?
Yeah, he scored.
Got an inclination. He did actually. Yeah,
yeah. We beat Peterborough,
well,
though, right? I can't actually remember.
We drew two.
We drew two all. Well, we didn't win the game for them.
On a plus note, Tommy's hasn't scored against us because he plays in the Championship.
Yeah.
John Marquis hasn't scored against us.
Yeah, for us.
Neither has Danny Hilton.
There you go.
Successful season.
That's one of the positives, isn't it?
Yeah.
But no, we kept him at bay enough to get a point. There we go. I'll change my point there. But so, you know, it's best that they've lost their main striker, but he's still going to be a handful. But the form that Burgess and Raggett are in, hopefully.
on the text quickly before we go. Jamie Gosport, have to hold my hands up as I was one of that who heavily criticised Raggett. Amazing what game development does for players sticking with them. Could easily bin him off, but turned his performances around so far this year, says Jamie Gosport. And from Mike T in Southsea, hi lads, I reckon the Sky Blues will end up leaving Fratton Park singing the Blues. The Blues rule at home and will do so again tomorrow. Mike T in Southsea. Mike, we are away from home, so hopefully we walk away from St Andrews feeling blue. But nonetheless, thank you for your text and hopefully for a Pompey win tomorrow evening. Gav Jones, good evening, gents. I see Kenny has said Cannon is unavailable for tomorrow's game. Or Super Kenny playing mind games. Just seems strange as after the Tranmere match, he said the injury wasn't serious and the scans didn't show anything too worrying, but somehow he is missing. Gav, you've got a good point. Maybe he's going to play. Maybe he isn't. Maybe it could be mind games. Maybe not. I don't know. Hopefully it is. Just quickly before we do leave you, before you travel tomorrow, if you are indeed going to the game, do check National Rail and Highways England. If you're driving up or getting a train, of course, Storm Ciara is set to affect most of the travel and really disrupt things heading into tomorrow. Okay, score prediction time. And got a couple here on Facebook. Daniel Sparl says we're going to win 3-2. Gary Larkham says Coventry is short of a team to nick a late goal. I'll be worried if they go down to 9 men. And Jeff Harris has one here. He reckons 2-1 to the Blues. Just quickly, Ryan, score prediction. Pompey versus Coventry tomorrow night. What are you going for?
Going for a 1-0 win. Ellis Harrison.
1-0 win, Ellis Harrison. I'll take that. Sam?
I'll go for a 1-0 draw. It's a bit more pessimistic, mm-hmm. but still good in my opinion.
Okay, Ryan says 1-0. Sam's going for a 1-0 draw. I'm going to go for a 2-1 Pompey win. Comeback win. Last minute winner. Love it. Okay, gentlemen. Thank you very much. I'm afraid that it's all we've got time for here on the Football Hour this evening, but there's plenty more still to come right here on Express FM. Jeff and Adrian are back from 8 o'clock tomorrow with us, tonight even, with a soft rock show. The guys will be welcoming Tim Summerfield into the studio for a live session, and they'll also be joined over the phone by Matt and Mel, Richard Drummy from Go West, and Connor Gaffney of the Scottish rock band Anchor Lane. Mason Jordan wakes you up bright and early in the morning with the Portsmouth Breakfast Show. He'll have all the latest, greatest music, the latest on the road and the Express Rewind up until 10 a.m. when Darren Gamblin takes over until midday. Henry Deacon is back on the airways from 6 p.m. on Wednesday with Over the White Line, all the latest from the non-league and women's football scene in our local area. And he'll also be overseeing this Friday's Football Hour to look ahead to the weekend's visit of Shrewsbury Town to Fratton Park. And finally, Liam Howes and Ryan Steerwell have you covered for Pompey Live tomorrow night from 7. They'll have full coverage of the Blues league trip to Coventry City with commentary in between from our colleagues from BBC Radio Solent. My thanks this evening go out to both Sam Carter and Ryan Honey for joining me in the studio, to each and every one of you back home for listening and getting involved, and of course our sponsors Stagecoach Across the South for supporting tonight's show. I'll be returning at the same time next week to preview the EFL Trophy semi-final against Exeter. You'll not want to miss that one. Stick around next for the Express 60s. That follows the news at 7. Until next week, have a great week. Stay safe. Play at Pompey.